Morning. All right. Well, like she said, my name is John Simonson. I'm one of the pastors here. It's my joy to get to bring the message today. Today we're going to be reading out of the book of Luke. We're going to read chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I'm going to read it out of the Message version because it's I just like the way it puts it. So y'all ready?
Yes.
One person's ready. Let's try this again. So y'all ready to jump into the Word of God?
Yes.
Oh, all right. See, that's the excitement I'm looking for. We're going to start Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, and you can follow along on the screen. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within her heart. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they had been told. This word is true. This is God's word, and it can be trusted. Man, I just can't picture that. These shepherds sitting in the field at night on night watch, and then this angel appearing, the glory of God shining around him. He delivers this message of a Savior being born. And we got to remember, these are Israelites. These are God's people that have been waiting their entire life for a Messiah that had been promised. And here it is on this night, these shepherds in the middle of the night that are on night watch, which if you've ever worked shift work, you don't put your biggest and brightest people on night watch, right? And this angel appears to them and shares this amazing news that the Messiah is here. And he's just down the road. And it's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And you can go see him. And then the heavenly hosts appear behind the angel singing glory to God. I imagine it sounded a lot like the kids that were singing peace on earth. Just one of those sounds that fills your heart, right? That you just can't help but to smile, but to be drawn in. But I've been thinking about this passage this week, and I'm like, why? This is huge news. I mean, this is news that the Israelites have been waiting on for hundreds and thousands of years. A Messiah that has been promised has come. Why does God choose these shepherds in the field to start the announcements with? Well, I can't help but to think that's the only way he could have done it. Because what would have happened if he went the traditional route? If he went the expected route? And he sent the angels to the to the preachers, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, to the temple. What would have happened if the angel showed up in the temple and announced the Savior has come, and it's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger just down the road? What does the church have a tendency to do? We have a tendency to be gatekeepers, right? We want to craft the message the best way possible. We want to make sure that the message of Jesus is told the right way. I can't what these Pharisees and Sadducees would have thought, what they would have done if God's message was delivered straight to them. I mean, if they would have went running down the street and seen this baby lying in a manger, Pastor Bill talked about it last week, this hay that's not covered in dirt, right? The smells, and this baby in this filthy place is supposed to be our Savior? Whoa, we can't have this. Let's make sure, don't tell anybody yet, let's get this baby from here to the temple. Let's make sure that we control access to whoever can see the baby and talk to the baby. Let's make sure we raise this baby the way that it ought to be raised according to us, right? I mean, I could just see that. I can see this instant longing to control the narrative, to make the picture fit everything that they thought a Messiah, a Savior, should be. But that's not how God works. God doesn't work in structure and in expectations of people. God works in his own way. God works in ways that are unexpected because that's what draws people in. That's how you reach everyone, right? I mean, that's what the message of the angels was. I come with great news for everybody worldwide. If they would have gone to the priest, the only people that would have heard it were the ones that the priest wanted it to hear. But if they go to shepherds, then shepherds are like, what? We got to tell everyone. Let's tell everyone. Jesus came to me. And that's what this season is about, right? This remembering that Jesus came for me. Not for the church, not for the select few. It's not a message that can be tailored and gift wrapped in the perfect way so that only those that are good enough can receive it. Those that are worthy enough can receive it. This season and this gift of a Savior is for everyone. Yet, at the church today, we still have this tendency to want to be the gatekeepers, to set expectations of how you come to know Jesus and who can come to know Jesus and where to come to know Jesus. And we have this tendency to say the only people that are worthy enough are the ones that live right and act right and do right. But the angels came to the shepherds on night shift. I promise you, they weren't the ones that were acting right and doing right and living right. God works in unexpected ways because the unexpected draws people in. The unexpected are the things that we have to go see. We want to go see. We need to go see. I love that line where the shepherds discuss it and say, we got to go see this, because that's how we all work inside. Seeing is believing, is what the scripture said. They had to go physically see this baby, this Messiah, to see that it was real. And when they got there, it's just like Bill described it last week. It is a scene that all of them felt comfortable with because that was their life. That's the place they lived. They slept in the fields with the sheep. They slept in the dirt that wasn't just dirt. They lived in that kind of place, and that is where they found the Messiah. And it hit home and said, wait a second, if the Messiah can show up here in a place that I'm comfortable with, then maybe this really is my Savior. Yet today at the church, we don't like to meet people in those places. We don't want to go to those places. We don't want to think that Jesus lives and dwells in those places. We don't want to think that God wants to use us to do the unexpected. We want to think that God has a great plan for us that fits every comfortable idea we've ever had about Him. And then we sit back and complain when things change. When things change around the church. When things don't go the way we want them to. When they don't look the way we want them to. When we find out that there really is dirt that's not dirt underneath the soil and in the floorboards and in the carpet. We're not happy with that. We want God to be nice and neat and fit in a pretty package because that's what we're comfortable with. But that's not how God works, and that's not how we meet people like the shepherds that need a Savior that looks like them, that smells like them, that lives like them, that is found in places they are. You know, the priest controlled who came into the temple. They had different areas that only certain people could go to. If Jesus would have been announced in the temple and taken back to the temple, it would have been just a lot like today, where we say, you've got to look the right way, sound the right way, and act the right way in order to get close. But the angel's message was, this is great news for everyone. Great news for everyone. And the great news is that we have been shared this amazing Savior, and we're asked to be the shepherds, to be the ones that get so excited we can't help but to tell everyone around us that Jesus isn't locked up in a temple. The Savior isn't locked up in some place that you have to fit into. The Savior is just like you and me. It's just like you and me. And everyone has access to Him. I think that's why God works in such unexpected ways. I think that's why God uses broken and imperfect people. Because the brokenness and the imperfection is what draws others in. It's what unites us. It's what connects us. It's what makes us the shepherds and not the priests. Recognize that we're not perfect. We recognize that we wouldn't be allowed in. But we also recognize that Jesus came for me. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for everyone. When we begin to live that, when we begin to accept that, when we begin to live the life that Jesus exemplified for us, what we do is we begin to show the entire world that the Savior, it came for them, came for everyone, is accessible to everyone. What happens when we as imperfect and broken people begin to live this love and this peace and this joy that only comes from Jesus, other people begin to notice. They begin to say, well, I know he's well, I know he cusses a little. I know he likes to drink a beer. I know he might dip a little or a lot. But you know what? He's just happy and he's at peace and he's willing to sit down and talk to me. And there's something about him that I want to know and I want to get to know more of. Where does that come from? How does that happen? How does somebody who's not the perfect picture of Jesus, how does that kind of person live a life that's happy? How does that kind of person not get bogged down in life and the brokenness and the heaviness and the worries and the doubt and the fear? I want to know what he knows or what she knows. That's what draws people in. That's how we make Jesus accessible to everyone. We stop worrying about our imperfections, trying to hide them, trying to clean up the mess, trying to keep things controlled like the gatekeepers of the church, and we let our imperfections show, and we let the dirtiness of the stable show. We let the fact that everyone is welcome, everyone has access to the stable, be known to everyone. And we let Jesus be found in the places that don't shut people out. We let Jesus be the Savior he is for everyone. And we draw people in by living in that place with them, by living in our imperfections, letting people see that it's not just dirt we're covered in. It's life. It's pain. It's unknowing. It's uncomfortable. It's scary. But we know we're not alone. And we know we can be there for someone else. And we know when we do that, that draws people in because it's unexpected. And when they're drawn in, they're not seeing us. They're not seeing us. They're seeing what's inside. They're seeing the Savior can be found everywhere. The Savior is for everyone. And that peace that we're filled with, that peace that God gives, that overflows our cup, that carries us through life, that we have to sometimes cling to because everything else is falling apart, begins to spread. And other people begin to get a little bit of that peace, a little bit of that joy, that isn't defined by the circumstances, but's defined by this little baby in a manger that was first told about to shepherds in the middle of the night. Because that's how God wanted to make sure the word got to everyone. In your life, how does Jesus show up? Do you have him guarded away in a temple somewhere and you only allow certain people to see him at work? Or do you lay Jesus in the dirtiest places of your life? The places where you're going to meet other people. The places where other people are going to have an opportunity to see Jesus in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. Grateful for this incredible gift of a Savior. But we're even more grateful that the way you came into the world wasn't guarded and kept a secret, and it wasn't in such a way that people had control of how others learned about it or how people got close to you. You came into the world in this place where everybody could come to. Everybody could see themselves. Lord, we're so grateful that you sent your Son to be our Savior, our Messiah, our Master. And Lord, help us to create a stable in our life, a place where other people know they can find the same Savior we did. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Friends, let's stand.